are people who use an economy of words every day. Every day in our life. I'm told that there are over 800,000 words in our English language. Isn't that amazing? And most of us, statistically they say, know about 10,000 words. You didn't know you were that smart, did you? 10,000 words, but do you know they say that we use or employ about 5,000 words a day? I heard not long ago, and I don't know if it's really true or not, they say that a man, this was really counter to what I just said, but I'm not really sure that perhaps what I'm about to say is true, so I'll clarify that. They say that a man will speak 15,000 words a day. Do you know how many words a woman will speak a day? 30,000. I told Audrey that, and she says, yes, that's because a woman generally has to repeat everything she says. In Matthew 5 and verse 37, Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you're reading in the easy-to-read version of the scripture, it simply says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's interesting, however, that we do say words sometimes that we would like to recall. Words that we wish that we had not spoken. Sometimes we make promises that we cannot keep. We don't like to admit that. And sometimes people are real honest when they say, I often invite people to come to worship. And most generally, people will say, well, I'm not making any promises. Now, what that really translates into is, I'm not coming. Now, that's really what it means. But there are some who will promise you the moon. They will promise you anything just to get you out of their hair. Promises they cannot deliver. There was a man one time flying in a hot air balloon, and he realized that he was lost. He reduces his height and spots a man down below. He lowers the balloon further, and he shouts out to the man on the ground. He says, excuse me. He said, can you help me? He said, I promised my friend I would meet him about a half an hour ago, but I don't know where I am. The man below says, yes, you are in a hot air balloon. You are hovering approximately 30 feet above the field. You are between 40 and 42 degrees north latitude and between 58 and 60 degrees west longitude. And the balloonist says, man, you must be an engineer. And the man said, I am. He said, how did you know? Well, said the balloonist, everything you have told me is technically correct, but I have no idea what to make of your information. And the fact is that I am still lost. The man below says, you must be a manager at Walmart. The balloonist said, I am. But how did you know? And the man said, well, you don't know where you are or where you're going. You have made a promise you have no idea how to keep. And you expect me to solve your problem? The fact is, you are exactly in the same position you were before we met, but somehow it's my fault. Now, we all make promises that we should not make. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the subject, your word is your bond. You know, we always say, you know, if a man will really keep his word, you can trust that man. And I'm going to tell you something, it is so important that we keep our word. It is. David in the Old Testament said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. We want our words, whatever we say to God, to be acceptable and to be right. But we also ought to ask God to make sure that the words that we speak to one another, and the promises that we make to each other, we will keep. Now, let me share three things with you that I think are really, really important regarding this subject. Number one is we should never, ever be dishonest in what we say. Do you realize that oaths are taken every day? When Barack Obama was to enter the Oval Office and the inauguration, one of the justices stood before him and he said, "Mr. Obama, are you prepared to take the oath?" I can tell you that every one of us make oaths every day. Jesus is not talking about these kinds of oaths, however. The Pharisees taught that if you are to take God's name in an oath, it would be a sin. And so that's why Jesus turns around and he says, you know what? Just let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 says that lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. But they that are pure are truly his delight. The Bible says of Moses in the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 22 that Moses was a man that was mighty in words and in deeds. In other words, whatever Moses said, he carried through with. You could take it to the bank. You know, it used to be that we didn't even have contracts. You go out and buy a car, you didn't. You just kind of shook hands on it. I mean, it was just kind of an agreement between you. You know, shouldn't it really be that way today that if we make a commitment to someone that we keep that commitment? Shouldn't it be that when we agree to something that we hold to that agreement steadfastly? We ought to be truthful in what we say. The reason for that, Jesus said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. But a fool's mouth is known by his multitude of words, according to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So be honest. Be honest in what you say. Do not be dishonest. There's so much dishonesty in the world today. It is true. You know, sometimes these advertisements that you see on television, they say one thing, but if you begin to read the little fine print, you recognize that, you know, it's not anything at all like they say. Politicians are good at being dishonest. They will promise you everything, but deliver nothing. We should, number two, don't be deceptive in what you say. In Matthew 5, verse 34 through verse 36, again, Jesus said, "They praise me with their lips," Matthew 15, verse 8. "They honor me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. They say one thing, but they do another." Stop and think about your own life. Let's get the Pharisees out of this, and let's start talking about humanity in today's world. How many times do you, in a day's time, make a promise to someone that you will not keep? And it's easy for us to back up and say, "Well, I'm just sorry I couldn't keep that commitment." It's just to say that just saying sorry takes care of the problem. And we do it day in and day out. The Jewish way of crossing your fingers was not to use God's name. Now, if you took the name of God in an oath, you keep that oath. It's kind of like the people that say, "Well, I'm not making any promises." And if they didn't use God's name in keeping that oath, then to them it was okay for them just to omit it and kick it out and not really worry about it. But you can't get away from God whether you take an oath with his name or not. That's why Jesus said to these folks who were listening to him, "Hey, don't take God's name, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you say yes, let it always be yes. And if you say no, let it always be no." Ephesians 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Have you ever stopped to realize how many people are really deceived today by the words of other people? It is true. We have to be very, very careful in what we say, because people do make promises they cannot keep at all. A Vermont plant not long ago called those who they decided to terminate and give a pink slip to. They tried to put it real nicely to them. They didn't just say, "We're going to fire you." They said, "We're going to give you a career opportunity change." Isn't that amazing? You know how we use words to camouflage certain things? We do. There was a company one time, a man had gone to apply for a job. They never could get the man to do anything at all at the job. Well, you know, people always want you to give them some kind of recommendation when they go try and hunt for another job. And so anyway, this other company where he had worked previously and had been a terrible, terrible employee, they didn't really want to say anything bad. They were really afraid of a lawsuit. And so anyway, they wrote a letter to the new company, and here's what they put. This was a recommendation. You will be very fortunate to get this person to work for you. Words. Our words are so deceptive at times. They are. Don't be deceiving in your words. We have to be very, very careful about what we say. Sometimes we're caustic in what we say to one another. Have you ever noticed that? Even when we make promises, sometimes we just make it out of exasperation. You know, sometimes you can talk to people about the Lord and maybe they're not ready to talk to you about Jesus and salvation, and you just keep on pounding away and pounding away, and finally out of exasperation, they'll do something, as I said, just kind of get you to leave and go away. We have to be careful about what we say and what we do. And that brings me to point number 3. Do be dependable in what you say. Honesty is saying what you mean and meaning what you say. It is true. We have so many people today that are so less than dependable. They will tell you one thing, but not do it. They give no explanation at all as to why they won't do it. I guess they feel they owe you none. That's just the way the world is, and they just live that way. And so they feel they have to never, ever make excuse or give reason for their lack of doing what they commit themselves to do. And it's a terrible thing. We blame politicians with that, but I'm going to tell you something. Every day, people do the same thing. They do. If you don't have integrity, you don't have anything. You really don't. Integrity is saying what you intend to do and then doing it. If you make a promise, keep that promise. It's as simple as that, folks. You know, that word promise comes from the Latin word, which means complete. It means that you keep and fulfill your expectations and what you promise you're going to do. In Proverbs 15 and verse 26, Solomon said that the words of the pure are pleasant words. You know, there were those in Jesus' day that came to him and they employed words. They used all kinds of words, and they actually came to Jesus trying to tempt him. Trying to get, you know, to kind of foul him up, you know, maybe get Jesus to say something he didn't really mean, but he didn't do that. A lot of times they ask him a question, and you know what Christ did? He turned it back around on them. One time there was a man that came to Jesus and asked, a Pharisee came to Christ and asked him a question about life eternal. And Jesus said to him, he said, "What's written in the law?" Pharisees were real good about trying to trip everybody else up, and certainly the master teacher. And so they came to Jesus thinking that they would really snow him with their words. But Jesus didn't buy into it. He turned right around. He says, "Okay, you're a Pharisee. You ought to know the law. You ought to know the answer to this." And in reality, Jesus was just simply saying, "That's just some kind of a rhetorical question you're asking. You know the answer to that, don't you? You are a master of the law." I'm telling you, Christ never ever made a promise that he did not keep. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the Lord God is faithful that promised. As I said, sometimes you can use your words to deceive. If you have no integrity, then it doesn't really bother you at all. Adam Clark, in his commentary, and he was a great commentator, who, when he was a young man, worked in a fabric store of all places, a fabric store. And he was selling silk. in that fabric store. He told his employer, who wanted him to stretch the material a little bit when he was measuring it. And Adam Clark looked at the employer and said, "Your silk may stretch, but my conscience won't." You know, some people have no conscience. And if they do, it is hardened. Philippians 1 and 10, Paul says, "That you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ." We ought to be sincere in all that we do. Listen to King David in the book of Psalms chapter 15. It is a psalm that is often overlooked. We read Psalms 23. We'll go back and read the 100 psalm. We'll read 139, Psalms 139 or Psalms 105. You know, there are many quotes that we take in the book of Psalms. Now, listen to what David says. And I want to read this in an easy-to-read language because it really gets a handle, I think, for us in our modern society on what David is really saying. He says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent or in your house? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to his neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, and does not change his mind." Think about it. He doesn't change his mind. You know, I'll be honest with you. There have been times in my life when I have made promises that I wish I had not made. But I'm going to tell you something. If I make you a promise, I will keep that promise. If it's at all possible. And I mean that sincerely. To do otherwise is just simply to lie. When we use the word sincere, and we had that up on the screen this morning, I was talking a little bit about sincerity. You know what the word sincere really means? It does mean without wax. And I didn't go on this morning to explain that, but I want to tell you the real meaning of that. Years ago, when they were making porcelain, and they did this back even in the Old Testament, during the days of Jesus, it was quite popular. Items were made. But they would heat the oven. But sometimes in the heating of the oven, it would be so intense that it would form little cracks and crevices in that porcelain. And so what they would do is that they would actually fill the cracks with wax. They just kind of fill it in. And the only way, believe it or not, the only way that you could tell if it was really genuine porcelain was to hold it up to the sun. And on the bottom of that porcelain, it would simply say, "Sun tested." That's how they would know that it was genuine. And so Christ says unto us, be genuine. Be sun, S-O-N, tested. And be truthful in what you say. "For let the words of my mouth," Psalms 19 and verse 14, "and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God." You know, we all fail at times in our attempts to serve God. I've often thought sometimes, like the songs we were singing, Randy, a moment ago, I wonder how many of us were really meditating and really thinking about the words of those songs that we were singing. You know, sometimes even very familiar songs. We sing those songs and we just say them so flippantly because we know them, and we just never really stop to think about what we're really saying. We don't. It just comes so natural for us to do it. It's kind of like the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it just becomes a thing of mechanics with us. We go through it, but it's lost its meaning in many cases. The problem's not with God. The problem is not with the act of observance or the worship. The problem is with us. That's why I think the Bible tells us over and over that when we worship God, worship Him in purity and worship Him sincerely. Because when we do not, we're no better than the Pharisees who praise God with their lips, but their heart was far from Him. It's so important that we do that. Sometimes even when we pray, do we pray sincerely? Do we? You know, obviously there's some that didn't. And that's why James says that the prayers of the righteous avail much. Because we pray in sincerity. There's a very interesting setting in the Old Testament. And I want to close with this tonight. In the book of Hosea, and that's just a little small book there in the Old Testament. But it's a beautiful book. It's a story, really analogous, if you will, of a man whose wife who had left him. But now God's really talking about Israel leaving him. And God had done everything in the world to preserve his spiritual bride. And his spiritual bride in the Old Testament, by the way, wasn't the church. I guess you could call it the church of the Old Testament. But in reality, it was his people, God's chosen people. And they had left God time and time again. And through this great prophet, God is calling his people back to himself. And I want you to notice what he says for them to do to come back to God. Beginning in verse 1 of Hosea chapter 14, he said, O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all of mine iniquity and receive us graciously. That's why it's so important when we fall and when we stray away from God. That's why it's so important for us to come before the Lord and acknowledge that and say unto God, God, take away my iniquity. Sometimes people just think, well, you know, I'll sin and God will overlook that and time will take care of it. But does it? Doesn't. Not really. But God says through the prophet, when you go before God, when you realize you've sinned, take words with you. And ask God to forgive your sin. And there may be those here tonight in this audience who need to come before God with words. There may be those who have strayed. Maybe promises that you've made that you've not kept. Commitments that have failed in your life. I surely hope not. But I know one thing, that it is a serious problem. It's a problem in today's society, and it certainly is a problem sometimes even in the church of the Lord Jesus. People will promise you anything. We have work days at the church. People promise to come. They never show up. And it's like, they won't miss me. I'm not worried about it. I mean, it's a volunteer thing. People are asked to prepare the communion vessels. We get up here on Sunday morning. They're not done. Somebody has to do it. The people that are scheduled to lead prayer never call when they're not going to be here. We're floundering around out here trying to get somebody to come lead a prayer. The same thing is true with those in Bible class. People make commitments to be a teacher. Never show up. If they do, they come in 15 or 20 minutes late. Now, I know that's serious, folks, but that's right down to where the rubber meets the road, and it's where we need to hear it. There are things we need to hear. When you make a promise, fulfill it. I'd rather somebody just tell me straight up, hey, not going to do it, than to make a promise and not keep it. So tonight, maybe you need to come before the Lord with words. I realize that that's not an easy thing to do, but it is something that we ought to do at times. And Randy has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing to give you a chance to reflect upon what we've said here tonight. While we stand and while we sing.